Saturday, August 6, 2011 in Salt Lake City will be our next live show, and it will be hosted by the lovely Zilpha Larson.
Wait, I thought it was hosted by the fabulous John Larson.
Well, maybe we'll both be there. And this year, we're going to shake it up and do something different. This show is mostly a concert. We have five great bands who will be there, including...
That's right. We've got Shane Jackman, McCall Erickson, Kristen Erickson, Otter Creek, that's the Danzigs.
Peter and Mary.
We also have David Jorgensen.
There'll be live commentary and music, and our theme this year is...
Embracing uncertainty. So if you're not sure about if you want to go to the show or not, just embrace the uncertainty and go for it.
Tickets are available now if you go to mormonexpression.com/tickets. You can get your ticket there. The list price is $17. It'll be $22 at the door. But now, for a limited time, you can pay whatever price you think is decent. We have some sponsors who are helping pick up the tab and help pay the musicians and the sound guys and all that sort of stuff.
Yep. So it's a great opportunity to name your own price and go get your ticket.
There are a limited number of seats, and I know a lot of people are planning on coming and sort of putting off buying their tickets, so you want to make sure you get yours early so you can reserve your seat. There will also be some extra special guests showing up, personalities from the podcast and whatnot.
Yep.
And you get a chance to meet the lovely Zilpha Larson and her trollish husband. Welcome back to another episode of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, John Larson. And tonight, we are talking about the history of online Mormonism. And we have an all-star cast tonight. And we have a full house with the studio audience. So I'm sure they'll chime in like they normally do. First of all, let's introduce our panel. And let's go around the circle. Starting in the humid south. Anne. Hey, Anne. Welcome to Mormon Expression.
Hi, John. Glad to be here. I'm on the New Order Mormon board and on FLAC as Nana P.
Nana P. And you've been around.
That's my rap name.
That's your handle, your trucker handle.
It's my rap name.
All right.
Yeah.
And, a little hip hop.
Sitting in, you're actually in Zilpha's co-pilot seat. So that's an honored position.
Yes, it is. I'm surprised she hasn't kicked me out.
She's off doing domestic stuff, or I don't know what she's doing. Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Now, Jason, you were episode number two, number three?
I think it was number two.
Wow. Thanks for getting us off the ground. Without you, we would never have made it.
Oh, I highly doubt that. I was just a speed bump that you had to overcome as you, found your groove.
Now, Jason is none other than the notorious Dr. Shades.
Correct.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We have Thane. Hey, Thane.
Hey, John.
Welcome to the. You've been to the studio a couple times, but
I've been here more than once. Yes.
This is the first time in the hot seat.
Yeah, I've been avoiding you.
and Thane, your handle.
I am Nam Decipher, and I used to be a fixture on FLAC, and now I'm a fixture on New Order Mormon.
Well, welcome. And then the woman who almost needs no introduction, Chris. Hey, Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
You're one of Zilpha's the female sexuality podcast.
That is correct.
Well, welcome back. And you, your handle?
I've posted as Froggy online in various boards and forums since about 1997.
All right, and we're gonna get into that. So, welcome all. These are some of the all stars of the online world. Now, something happened around about the early 1990s that changed everything, not only for the church but for everything else, and that's the internet sort of picked up and came online and started moving. And before, you would have had to kind of go to Utah Lighthouse Ministries or or go search the depths of the archives, the University of Utah, to find out some of the nasty details from the church's dark cornered past. Suddenly, all that stuff was available at the click of a mouse. Actually, there weren't mouses then, but they came a little bit after. But starting in those early days, Mormon community started forming online. And it eventually evolved into what has been termed the DAMU, or the Disaffected Mormon Underground. And if I'm not mistaken, Anne, you are the one who coined that term.
Actually, the phrase a Disaffected Mormon Underground was something that Dathan, who was one of the original members of the New Order Mormons Board, used to me in an email once, and I just loved it. And actually, everybody pronounces it DAMU, but I call it damn you.
That's what I call it too.
And the A doesn't really belong, but if you capitalize the A in disaffected, it makes a really good, almost curse word.
All right. I stand corrected. I'll start referring to it as the damn you too.
We can have.
Isn't that a great term? Dathan was one of the, he was the second owner of the New Order Mormon Board. And actually he recognized me from one of my very early posts. He actually had come to my wedding reception and knew my husband when they were in college and called me and he said, "So are you married to my old college chum?" So anyway, but that's where the Disaffected Mormon Underground came from him. And I just turned it into initials because I thought it made a really fun, almost curse word.
Okay. And there's lots of online aspects. Of course, there's all the web pages that have been out and some of the early ones like The Church Is Not True and Joseph Lied. And then of course all the church's stuff. And then there's been the blogger knackle. And we're not really going to get into those. Tonight we're going to talk about the board and the board wars. Now for those who don't hang out, in angst-driven internet, websites, a bulletin board is a place where you can go and you can just, type whatever you want and then other angry people type responses and then it, rinse and repeat, right?
We're not all angry.
Well, no, and actually there are believing Mormon iterations of those boards too. The Nauvoo Forum,
yes,
is one. It's kind of what I call the anti-flack. So,
but isn't running a believing board like trying to weed morning glory out of your garden? I mean, don't they have to constantly be banning posters? I mean, how do they keep their people in there?
No idea. No idea. You practically have to pass a temple recommend interview to be allowed to post there. So I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
They're actually fascinating boards to read because I think it's the most pure fundamental Mormon writing that I've seen. And I was looking at one just about 3 weeks ago. I can't even remember what it was. I was looking through some of this research. But you see some of this purified, old-fashioned Mormon stuff.
Okay, so let us go to the beginnings. There was a time before the boards. And there was something more than just like alt-sex, whatever it was, on the... What did they call those original?
Alt Religion Mormon? Oh, you the Usenet boards?
Usenet boards.
Usenet. Actually, pre-Usenet, there was actually a CompuServe forum.
Wow. Were you on that one?
Well, I read it for a while, but it was a little too freewheeling for my tastes. I was very new to the church at that point, and there were a lot of really angry people there.
Like angry ex-Mormons?
Very freewheeling. And, people who were saying all kinds of mean things about the church. It was just awful. And I was a new member at the time. So, you had to belong to CompuServe, and it's just not worth the effort. I mean, I was on a modem, 2400.
Tough.
Okay. Yeah. So you'd have to download everything, and then you'd read it, and then you had to write your responses, and then upload them all, and it was very nonlinear.
Yeah, I do remember those days. The problem was that it was hard to do, and there wasn't a huge user base. And as I recall, the earliest ones, the CompuServe and the Usenet ones, were not segregated Mormons and anti-Mormons. So that made for lively discussions.
Yes.
Yeah, it was more Wild West.
There was a Usenet forum that I was actually a moderator of for several years, Sock Religion Mormon, that was not, it was moderated for civility, and there was no discussion permitted of the temple ceremony.
For a frame of reference with Sock, I was looking through some of the archives on the To Think Forums board, and I discovered the first post from the Sock Religion Usenet boards, and that was back in 96.
Wow.
So when did the first real sort of bulletin board come online? What was the first one that really had influence? I mean, there's probably always been a grundle of them, but they've been small. Where was the first momentum?
I would guess exmormon.org.
Oh, yeah.
That's my hunch, because it goes back to 95 or 96.
And luckily, they've never updated since 1995, so you can still get a feel for the way it was.
So you can still, yeah, you know everything there is.
All right, I'm going to get in trouble with those guys again.
There was a guy named RPC Man, and I believe he was on the original Usenet email groups.
Uh-huh.
And when Eric began the ex-Mormon board, he split off and began his own board. So I'm not quite sure what the time difference was between the two, but it was pretty early. The Honest Intellectual Forums, I believe, were started right around the same time as the Ex-Mormon, and the Ex-Mormon website listed as 98.
So the Ex-Mormon board, also called
RFM.
RFM, or is it Reform?
Recovery from Mormonism.
Recovery from Mormonism is still today the highest traffic board related to Mormonism, either inside or outside the church, as far as I understand. I think somebody a couple days ago posted some statistics, and it has by far the most hits.
I was just looking at it. It says that since April 4th of 98, there have been 131,000 messages posted and more than 4.1 million hits on that webpage.
And if you do a search on any sort of weird Mormon topic, like you put in, I don't know, a couple of keywords.
Kinderhook plates.
Yeah, Kinderhook plates. I guarantee in the first one or two pages on Google, you're going to hit their old archives and where they've been.
If all you type in is Mormon, you're going to see RFM on the first page.
So RFM has been the 800-pound gorilla for the apologists for a long time. And from time to time, they put their toe in. There have been some notorious incidents of apologists sort of banging into that board.
Oh yeah,
I can think of Peterson in particular has had some run-in with those guys and threats of libel and lawsuits but nothing ever really materializes. I think it'd be really hard to
surprise. Surprise.
Yeah, I don't know how you would ever go through with that on an internet forum. I just don't think it would work legally.
Especially that forum. I mean, it really just rotates too quickly, and it's difficult to manage.
So the tenor of that one, and I hope I'm not going too far out on a limb, is any criticism of the church goes. And I personally, as an ex-Mormon, have had my post banned for defending the church, or my post deleted from that site.
So have I.
So they will go after people who, if you just say, whoa, let's get, the last one I can remember is they were talking about how Joseph Smith was a pedophile. And I was saying, there's no evidence that Joseph Smith is a pedophile. You know, that the pedophilia is a particular thing, and I got my posts all deleted on that. So they are very religious in their moderation in favor of criticism.
I think it's worth pointing out that they moderate a lot, but not in the way that other people do. They have a tendency to be heavy-handed on banning people and on deleting posts and on locking threads. Maybe not banning, but locking threads and deleting posts, you know.
Yeah, they're not so big on banning because they allow for anonymous posting. You can just jump right on and get right in.
Yeah, I probably misspoke.
But I can think of, and I'm not going to name names, but I can think of a lot of ex-Mormons in the community who refuse to post there anymore, who have, and there's a lot of people who still started there because it's sort of the first place you tend to land, and then sort of work through all this caustic sort of anger and then move on to other boards.
I think that's the best way. That's the way it worked
for me. I lasted about 3 months there. And over the course of the years, there have been numerous concerns about it, even from people like from the Ex-Mormon Foundation who were saying, okay, this is the primary board that people who have questions about the church or who you know, may be disaffected to some extent. This is the first place they go. And the first thing they see is all this vitriol that is going on this board. And we don't think that's representative of us, which is really kind of ironic because, you know, we have this slew of people who are ex-Mormon or post-Mormon or pretending to be Mormon or whatever. And they're very concerned about what the ex-Mormon board is looking like.
And the board does have a couple of A-list celebrities as far, the board is really dominated by Richard Packham, you know, who we've had on the podcast, and Steve Benson, the Pulitzer Prize winning, cartoonist.
And he's really awesome to bicker with, honestly. Anytime I get in a real argumentative mood, I go over to Recovery Board to argue with
him. Steve is fun to debate with. He likes it.
He really does.
And then there's been others who use it as an outlet. I think of Bob McHugh still posts things there from time to time. So there's still a lot of stuff happening there. I just think a lot of us just get tired of checking in on it.
Yeah. And it's a tough board to keep up on because if you don't keep up on it, you lose everything.
Yeah, yeah. And there's still I was there a couple days ago. I was looking for something, and there's these guys that there are probably 10 or 20 of them that have been posting there for 8 years now, and they're just there all the time.
There's a handful of people that have been there as long as I've been on the Damn You, and that's a couple of years, and they post along.
Good for them.
That's so, all just 2 years?
A couple of years, yeah.
So it's still out there. And as far as discussion and dialogue go, I think one of the things that marks the boards is this tension between the faithful, including the apologists, and the unfaithful, including the people who are full on out critics and the liberal Mormons. So there's, as we go through the genealogy here, we should understand that the apologists really are just not tolerated, or anybody defending the faith is just not tolerated. They will quickly be smashed down and they'll be drowned out there. There's no real dialogue there. And I think if Eric or Susan IS were here, they'd say, yeah, that's the way we want it. That's our modus operandi, you know.
I think that that's true of the majority of the ex-Mormon spectrum of the boards.
There's only one board I know that is the exception to that, and we'll get there in a minute, won't we, Shades?
Yes, we will. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe we won't get there, but you know. I'll just wait patiently.
Now, the board that sort of was the granddaddy of everybody coming together before it split into all these different subworlds was
New Orleans Lighthouse Message Board.
Yes. So that was the first one. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was going to the next one, but Zion's Lighthouse Message Board was the board that was put up by Gerald and Sandra Tanner for Lighthouse Ministries.
That is, I'm afraid, incorrect.
I'm wrong. Tell me.
Yeah, the Zion's Lighthouse Message Board was set up as a response to the board that was set up by Gerald and Sandra Tanner.
See, I knew I brought you guys here for a reason. All right. So I do know that some of the original debates started out Lighthouse Ministries.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, to the extent that they were allowed by the moderator Web guy, who was pretty heavy-handed when it came to banning Mormon posters.
Yes. So the Zion Lighthouse. Give me the
Zion's Lighthouse Message Board. ZLMB.
So ZLMB started as a response to the bannings that happened on the Tanners.
That's correct.
And so who was running that thing?
That was a guy named I can't remember his. Can't remember his real name anymore, but Pecumeni, that's what he went by. Or Pecumeni 9, I think.
So
I remember him.
When about in the history are we talking about? About like what year?
Late 2000.
So what happened?
Well, late 2000 is when the Zion's Lighthouse Message Board was established. But sometime several months before that is when the Lighthouse Ministry Board was set up and was running. So I guess that was maybe up like roughly a year, maybe a little bit less before Zion's Lighthouse came to be.
So Zion's Lighthouse tried to put a dialogue between the Mormons and the apologists, at least the online apologists?
Well, probably the ex-Mormons and the apologists.
Yeah, the ex-Mormons, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, it was a like I said, a response to the oppressive moderation policies that this guy, their chief moderator, Web Guy, instituted over there at the Tanner's Lighthouse Board, because he would ban any sort of defense of the church, any, you know, anything said in favor of it, you know, so on and so forth. And of course, the apologists who normally weren't allowed to post it, you know, RF or exmormon.org anyway, or RFM, they got sick of, you know, the rule saying one thing, but the moderator doing another. So they decided to create this utopia. It was envisioned by the founder as being a place where all the top-notch apologetics and so forth could, it was like a one-stop shopping place or a clearinghouse for all the best and the brightest, and where everybody could come and have their say and so on and so forth, and that everybody would be on an equal playing field, you know. So once again, a reaction to the oppressiveness from the Tanner's Board.
So did they recruit? Like, or did it just naturally gravitate to that place?
I don't recall any heavy recruiting, but it kind of gravitated towards that. I guess, you know, one person finds it, then they tell their friends, and they tell their friends, and so on.
So at the time, do you all recall, was there any main competition to that board, or was that the main board that was up?
Well, there was the fair boards that existed for a long time, but they weren't really paid much attention to. You had just Faithful Mormons posting there, but it was kind of a minor player at the time. And so Zion's Lighthouse was the big place for people to meet together.
There was also the fluff board at LDSTalk.com, where there was a little bit of light dancing between the critics and the apologists, and mostly people just trying to wind their way out, basically. But, you know, I was looking at that board just the other day, and it's been hijacked by the church completely.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, it's also important to remember that we might be talking about the big heavy hitters right now, but we should remember that there have been other minor boards that have come and gone. Like there's a guy named Larry Ingram who ran a board, like me and a few other hardcore people would, you know, post on it. That was it. There was another board called the Sheltering Tree, which is, you know, pretty much about, you know, fellowship and, you know, pro-LDS stuff. So all these other boards that most people won't even remember anymore have come and gone.
They have.
Without ever being major.
There are little bits of carcasses strewn across the internet. It's really interesting to see, because you'll see little caches of information or posts or something from time gone by. And it's actually fascinating to go back and look. The Folk of the Fringe, back in the early 2000s, it's still there. An archived version of it, but it's a hoot to go back and look at some of those original posts and see some of the interaction. Well, which hasn't changed too much from what the interaction is now.
And this is unfortunate for some. I can think of one budding young apologist right now who just went to graduate school, who came onto the scene with a bang about 3 years ago and racked up 20,000 posts within a year. I won't name names.
On which board?
On between your board and between Mormon Discussions and the Mad Politics board.
Okay.
And he left some carcasses, and they're all out there to be pulled up and resurrected. So, unfortunately, I think what's happening is there's some young guys who are coming online who haven't got cut their teeth yet, who come out as Class A assholes, and all that stuff gets archived away, and people should be aware of that. As a matter of fact, I switched to using my real name in 2003 on the boards. I believe that was about the time. I was still in the church, and I did so to prevent myself from being too caustic.
You can always control yourself from being caustic whenever you wish.
I just put big green hugs on everything, and I could see the nastiest stuff, and I put big green hugs after it, and everything was okay.
Oh, kind of like regards, Pahoran?
Exactly.
Or thanks, Wade England?
Regards, Pahoran. What was Hammer's sign-off?
I don't even remember. I don't even know who that is.
Really? You know, the Hammer?
It sounds familiar.
He was
Which board?
On the Mad Boards.
Oh, yeah. People talked about that, dude. Apparently, he was a real trip, but I didn't read there. I wasn't reading there anymore by then. So,
okay. So the board we were talking about, the Zion's
Lighthouse.
See, I always get it mixed up with Zarahemla, but,
no.
So what was the death toll of that board?
Oh boy. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. What happened was, as you can imagine, there have been, you know, lots and lots of threads on lots and lots of bulletin boards over the years that have come and gone, but, one day, a certain thread took place on the Zion's Lighthouse message board that towered above any and all other threads that have ever existed on any message board on any subject on the internet ever.
Wow.
Yes, it was the most important thread that the world has ever seen, and it was so amazing, so earth-shattering. It was. You know, one thread to rule them all, one thread to find them, one thread to bring them all, and so
forth.
And
I was not there.
Yeah, it's too bad. You weren't. Oh, you would have had a great old time. And so it pretty much laid the apologists bare and showed how they operate on the most fundamental level. Oh, it was so fantastic. And the apologists came out looking so bad because they were caught in, you know, multiple untruths. Time and time, and they changed their story again and again and again and again
and
again.
So what was the topic? I mean, give us a general feel. What was going on?
The name of the thread was called More on Disingenuous Murphy, where apparently Thomas Murphy, who you probably heard of, you know, the
author.
Yeah, the author who came really close to being excommunicated, but thanks to a threatened candlelight vigil at the last minute, they yanked his disciplinary hearing. Anyways. So this, roughly, I'd say 6 months or so later, he gives a presentation at Utah Valley University. And so basically, he was, after that, somebody got on there, a guy named Pentatac One. Is that what he still posts on at Mormon Dialogue and Discussions? Okay, yeah. Well, that guy gets on, and he starts talking about how, you know, this was inaccurate and blah, 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 and he used somebody's image without permission. But then somebody else chimed in. You know, a moderator on the Mad Boards we've all heard of, and accused him of slandering Lewis Midgley. And then, accusing Midgley of having instigated the whole Court of Love procedure or something like that. So I got on and said, well, wait a second. This sounds just too fishy for me. Like, we have Midgley sitting in the audience, but yet, Thomas Murphy slanders him right in front of his face. I mean, that's a little bit far fetched. And then she said, you should have read it in the if you'd read the transcript, you'd know what it wrote, you know, that it actually happened. I said, well, link me to the transcript so I can read it for myself, because I just don't believe you. And he said, well, it's not up online yet because, you know, it was like court, it was written down like one of those, like what court stenographers write down. And no, I'm not going to give you the link. It's like, well, the reason you're not going to give me a link is because it doesn't exist. And so it went on and on. It turns out that, she wound up, other people, her Mormon friends tried to defend her by saying, no, there never was a transcript. Then she came back, yes, there was a transcript. And then they found out that it might have been somebody's notes that she read, and then it turns out that Midgley wasn't even in the room at the time, and then it turns out that Murphy didn't even say anything except in the Q&A session afterwards, and then it turns out that Murphy didn't say anything. It was out in the hall afterwards, and then it turns out that he didn't even mention Midgley's name at all. Somebody just speculated. And
such drama.
Yeah.
And so people changing their stories back and forth and being called out for their stories and coming up with all these contradictory cover stories and, you know, cycling through for like 38 pages. And oh man, it was fun. The apologists or apologist, the main apologist who, you know, was doing the most flip-flopping, decides that, she'd had enough. And so anybody who's sick of these anti-Mormons, you know, being able to trash believing members, then come on over to the fair boards and, where, you know, this type of thing won't happen again. So after that, so the believers all fled en masse over to the fair boards, and then Zion's Lighthouse, you know, it petered off and died. So just the one thread, it took down an entire message board, and it gave rise to the oppressive moderating policies of the fair boards, now the Mad Boards, now Mormon Dialogue and Discussion. And it ensured that the Mormons and the ex-Mormons would never, ever, ever occupy the same board in equal numbers ever again. Thread did that.
And set a precedent for board destruction.
Yes, it did.
It did, because that happened on FLAC, too.
Oh, did it really?
Uh-huh.
So what I think is interesting here is, I mean, let's be clear, 98% of all the threads on any board are kind of junk. They're sort of entertainment. They're sort of like discussion porn, right? but what has always amazed me as I've watched it is the Mormon world is small. And when we say apologists, we're talking about the apologists who publish with Farms, who publish with the Maxwell Institute, the ones who write for Mormon Times, the ones who write for Deseret News. These guys are still plugged into these boards. And even though you get on them and it seems like you're just talking to a bunch of yahoos, there's this cloud of the movers and shakers, people who publish in Dialogue and Sunstone and in Mormon History Association, who are sort of always semi-plugged into what's going on these boards. And there have been instances that I can give you history of where the church has responded to things that have come up in threads. So I don't think like the church has a cadre of people sit and watch the boards, but they're one phone call away from the people on the boards. So this is an instance where I think academically, you know, people are used to going to conferences and having sort of these sort of semi-formal discussion, you know, professional discussions, and then going back with their own clan and bad-mouthing everybody. And there's something about the boards that seemed anonymous. And you could get on and you know, type all this stuff in, but it would blow up and it would be archived. And I think that sort of thing is the first instance of people realizing that this seems like it doesn't matter, but it really did. People were really watching. And who knows what, you know, especially when it comes to the church stuff, who's turning cranks behind the scene and telling the guys, tone it down or stop this or knock this off.
Well, you actually heard, who was it? Dallin H. Oast come and say, like, general conference to, you know, tone it down and,
right,
you know, treat our, you know, former members with respect or something. Wasn't that something like that? Or no, watch how you act online, right? Was that how it was, the gist of it?
Yeah. Okay. And then Bowerts asked teenage girls to get on and put YouTube videos up to spread the word.
So how did that work out?
as best as you can imagine.
That bad, huh?
All right. So they go off to the fair. They set up the fair boards. And this is about the time that fair started, which was fair hasn't been around since before like 2000, has it?
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Wasn't it?
I don't believe so.
Well, roughly about then.
Yeah, it was right around the early 2000s.
Fair was born purely out of the internet. It has now it has a conference that squats on Sunstone's turf. But
it didn't start from the real world
online. And you know, yeah, Scott Gordon and those guys who started it started as a repository to try to get information out that was sort of not as technical as some of the stuff Maxwell Institute, a.k.a. Farms, is putting out. And at first it was really amateurish. I remember those first days when they first went up, and it was you could tell they hadn't learned the art of using an editor, that sort of thing. So they get their boards and they start getting their presence known. So now all the disaffectites, the ex-Morganites,
the Strangeites,
where did they go after? After the board.
Actually, believe it or not, the ex-Mormons actually followed the believers over to the fair boards. And they coexisted there, you know, under, you know, an oppressive atmosphere for quite a while, actually.
And that's where I first started engaging as my newly born, like, ex-Mormon self. And then one day, all of a sudden, everybody was gone at a fair. And that's where they all went over to when the Mad Boards were created. Back in fall of 2003, I believe. The discussion just went to nothing, as far as I remember, because I'm like, where is everybody? What's going on?
Well, I think that you know, the discussion we had before of when did all these boards start? About three different ex-Mormon flavored boards started between, you know, 2000, 2003, somewhere in that neighborhood. So maybe they just sucked all the air out of the room.
And it might be. It's like, for most of us, you would go check four or five or six boards. You know, it's not like you were loyal to one board. You just go look for whatever was hot.
I remember reading three boards every day. You can't sustain that for very long.
No.
So now, when did Zarahemla start up?
Zarahemla, 03, I think.
So about the same time.
Yeah.
And Zarahemla was quite a tour de force for a while.
A short while. Because by the time that I inherited it, it was done.
Why did you get the sloppy seconds?
I have a history of picking up boards that nobody wants and websites that nobody. The island of misfit boards. That's me.
Let's not forget the little sideboards like Folk of the Fringe and the Foyer that turn into Flack. And
right,
there's that whole side area, too, where there's not a whole lot of, Mormon Discussions board.
No. I'm not talking about that. You said the Foyer that turned into Flack? Because when I go to flack.com, nothing happens. I have to go to thefoyer.org.
The Foyer. It's thefoyer.org.
Yeah. So
but
you say
it turned into Flack.
But the Foyer.
So what is it? How come it's not flack.com right now then?
Because the owner took it away because he was mad because we had a big blow up on one post.
Oh, so then somebody salvaged the remains and opened the Foyer.org again?
He went by the name of Solistics and he came in and rescued literally overnight the board from being closed down completely. And then we had a democratic process of renaming the board as Further Light and Knowledge. So it is known as Flack now.
But, you know, I go to the website and I don't see Further Light and Knowledge anywhere. Is that like up in the corner somewhere?
On the upper left.
It's in the logo is all.
Has he considered changing the URL to, you know, furtherlightandknowledge.com?
I'll go ahead and send a memo to the...
I mean, because it's like, I can't tell you the number of times that I've tried to go there. People have talked about it. I was like, further light and knowledge, nothing.
You know, if you go to the foyer.org, you'll get it.
Now I know, but that's two different names.
Yeah.
You know?
The domain name wasn't available. It's as simple as that.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, was that, you know, when the foyer board, when the view from the foyer imploded because the owner took it down, the idea was that this board, the foyer, this is a community, and he doesn't own this community. And so, by golly, we're going to recreate the foyer. So, and then there was all, oh, do we want to do that? And there was a lot of discussion about that part of it too. But it was my understanding that it was going to be the foyer. And that's why he grabbed thefoyer.org, because the idea wasn't, we're going to create a different board. It's, well, he doesn't own this community. This community exists outside of his little AMU space.
Although a few days later, there was a bit of saber rattling about stealing the name, even though, you know, it was a shortened version.
It was actually quite interesting to see the board go down like it did, because it left a devastated community. Everyone suddenly felt orphaned, and they were running around to other various boards. Where are my people? What's going, you know, where are we going to be? It was interesting to see that phenomena, that personal phenomena that was going on at the time.
We talk about the drama. I think it's important to underline that, you know, when you run a board, all of your content is provided for free by people who you don't control, right? You know, like here, you know, I kind of control what we record and who gets on. But when you're a board, you kind of have to just roll out the mat and see what happens. So there is always this tension between not only the board owners who want some sort of, I don't know, a voice
direction or
purpose. And then the posters can come on, take in any direction they want. And oftentimes people who rely on the boards are either people who are going through a process in their life when they need that. That's why it's so important for the apologists, because apologists are really just the flip side of disaffected Mormons. They have nobody to talk to. And the apologia that they put out would not be accepted in the chapels. So they need a place where they can go meet other people and talk about this stuff, because apologists are all the time like saying things that are against what the prophets say. They're saying things that aren't accepted in church. So they need a community. And of course, disaffected Mormons need a community. So it becomes such an important aspect of that process of finding your new space. And people bring so much emotional charge into that. And you'll see people come on those boards and literally be spending 20, 23 hours a day on those boards for sometimes periods of months.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
There's a young board phenomenon. It's quite a common phenomenon that you get these people that come in and they post day and night for a week or two.
Your world's falling apart. I mean, your world is falling apart.
And then, you know, fast forward a week and it's another three people and another three people after that.
And you have nobody to talk to. I mean, we've talked about that before on the podcast. Oftentimes your spouse doesn't understand or doesn't want to hear it. There's nobody in the ward. Your bishop's just going to threaten you. And suddenly you realize there's 100 people there who understand exactly what you're talking about. And it feels like you're suddenly coming home to this, you know, this glorious place, and it can be intoxicating. But the boards, you know, related to our stories about the boards kind of going belly up, it's my observation, you guys can argue with me if you want, that about every 6 months, the boards change personality. There'll be enough people come and go that they'll start, you know, some people will start posting less. There'll be new people come on, and that changes the actual tenor and voice of the board.
Depends on the board.
I think what you're describing is true. I think that the time span is different for every board.
I
think on New Order Mormon, it's shorter than that.
I think you get little niche boards that by the time people are through with their processing, they're looking for a community, and they've bonded during this whole, you know, traumatizing process of leaving the church. And so they find themselves in smaller communities that just provide support. They've essentially processed their Mormon stuff, and they're there just to play. So the percentage of people who process through Mormonism and then continue to keep those online relationships, I think is fairly good.
And I would say, again, the exact same process after being on the Mormon Discussions, now Mormon Dialogue Board, the MAD Board. The exact same thing happens with apologists, even though they tend to stay in the church. They have to reach a new stasis, a new medium, and they go through the same sort of thing. Even though they're really hyper defensive of the church, they're still trying to work through all this stuff.
I agree. And furthermore, I think this whole online phenomena has completely changed the face of the stigma of ex-Mormon and apostate, because it's enabled a community. I think, you know, back in the early days, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s or whatever, if someone became a disbeliever for whatever reason, well, they kind of lurked in the back pew of the church and they didn't say anything and they didn't express themselves because they couldn't. They'd lose their family, their friends, you know, that type of a thing. And with the advent of the internet, if they have questions or concerns or whatever, they can reach out to someone else. They've got an immediate support there and it enables it.
Yeah.
And I say that to music.
No, I agree. And I think the importance is huge. But the boards have their limits, and that's where these things end. And I've seen groups migrate from one board to the other because they get tired of certain topics. And then that board does the same thing. So there's always this movement and motion going around. And just like any human endeavor, there's people who get personal, their feelings hurt, and they form cliques, and they form. But because there isn't the filter, when you're talking to somebody, you're watching their facial expression, you don't want to seem too aggressive. But when it's 2 a.m. and you're clicking away, I mean, those filters just go away, and you can put anything you want there. And I'm sure we all cringe about once a week reading the boards.
You know, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's kind of why I have stayed and participated on boards as long as I have. I always thought that, especially when I was in Mormonism, that there was not enough talk. There was not enough dialogue. I wasn't learning. And I think that as time has gone by and these participations on this board, I learn all the time. I mean, over 10 years into it, I'm still learning things. And it's a wonderful thing. I feel like it's a living process rather than a dead shell of a person, kind of what I was becoming while I was a Mormon.
Yeah, I've had that experience. And I mean, you know, I think like a lot of us here, I read a few hundred posts a day, probably 300, 400, 500 posts a day. And I still keep seeing stuff that I go, wow, I wish I had said that. I wish that I had recognized that thing.
And then you'll get those rare personality people that come on, you know, after you've been on the boards for such a long time, you have a tendency to see the same things over again, but then you'll get a flare up. You'll get an outstanding person that will kind of show up, a Bob McHugh, you know, that sits on flack and explains not only why he doesn't believe, but this is why his brain believes he doesn't believe. And you get all these different personality types that will filter through, and that always makes it fun too.
Yes, indeed. Now, speaking of some boards, as you say, John, going belly up. Now, I explained how Zion's Lighthouse message board came to a sudden and abrupt end, but tell us about what happened to Flack or the foyer or whatever. Now, once again, you say somebody came in and talked politics. There's got to be more to it than that. Can you give us the rundown?
Do you want to tell this story, Anne?
Well, I can tell the story a little bit from my perspective, and it might be interesting to hear about it from yours, because my perspective may be different than yours.
Okay.
I was not as much of an active participant in FLAC at that point, or excuse me, the view from the foyer at that point. I was much more involved in the New Order Mormon board. I kind of heard about what happened on FLAC. Oh my gosh, what's going on here, from Solistics when it happened.
That was what happened to me. I had been posting and reading over at New Order Mormon, and then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, something's happening over at the foyer. Then I had to go running.
This story was recreated by Solistics at the time that it happened. He wanted to take a snapshot, you know, and document what had happened with the board. And that is still located on the FLAC board. And so if you're interested, you can go take a look at it. But the upshot was that we had a board owner, Archimedes, who he was one of those, you know, personalities that, you know, either really high or really low, and you kind of followed, you know, his mood. The whole board kind of followed his mood. Anyway, Bob McHugh got on there at a time when Arch was just not in a good mood. And he brought something up about Gore,
Al Gore. Was it Bob McHugh? Because I thought that it was
It was Bob McHugh's original post that caused the problem. Brought this very innocent thread out. He was talking about Al Gore, and Arch got really mad, and they started getting into this. Bob was gone, I think, by that time. I mean, Bob was not interacting at all.
And I do want to interject here that was actually a very early rule of the board. The board really didn't have a lot of rules, but one of the very early and pretty much absolute rules was no political discussion.
Yes. Anyway.
And the reason for that was because so many of us, I think, when we tend to drift away from LDSism, we sort of drift into a more liberal view. And Archimedes is very politically conservative, and he didn't want to have those kinds of conversations.
So he didn't.
And there was a free forum area. This is where free-for-all stuff goes. We don't talk about politics. Period.
Anyway, he shut down the thread and he said, we're not going to talk about this. But he did so in the process of doing so. He interjected all of his own personal political stuff. Uh-huh. And then Mr. Brightside came along and said, excuse me, you're going to shut this down, but look at you. You're violating your own rules. Well, Arch just couldn't stand for that type of response. And so he babbled back and forth and back and forth. And then he finally said, you know what? You're all children and I'm tired of this board and I'm shutting you down. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
He paid the bills. He was the board owner. And AMU was not a free forum. You had to pay for it.
Yep.
Right, right.
Talk about having a thin skin.
It was really bad, and it was really ugly.
So somebody posts about Gore. Big deal.
As the night was unfolding, I remember as this night was occurring, because I was very active at the time, and things were going back and forth and back and forth, and I get this Yahoo Messenger message going, the board's being shut down. We've got like 3 hours. So he initially said, I'm shutting this down in 3 hours. And then he said, well, I'm going to leave it up for 24 if you guys want to get something off of it. And Solistics immediately started doing a mirror board. He started recreating it and trying to cache everything so that we would have it all there. And in 24 hours, he had recreated the entire board. Well, Arch kind of had, second feelings about the whole thing, the day after, and it was gone. I mean, it was like, he's like, you can come back. We'll do this on a limited basis. And everyone said, no, we're under the whims of this tyrant dictator who can pull the plug on the entire community at any time. Well, no, thank you. So that's what happened.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Now, the guy who pulled the plug, did he come back and is he now an active participant or is he gone forever?
He participates.
He's on my board now.
Oh, he's on your board now. Okay, gotcha.
Nom is pretty much the mothership. It's interesting because I don't know if you were around at the time, Thane, but
I was.
On the Nom board, there was a point where there was a lot of freewheeling kind of stuff, and Nom can be a very confining environment for some people. They find the purpose of the board that constrains them from their freedom of expression. And the View from the Foyer was started as a more freewheeling alternative. Right.
Foyer
in terms
was supposed
of
to be
what
an
kinds
antidote.
Of critical things you could say about the church.
Right. It was supposed to be an antidote to New Order Mormon, which is, constrained. But, if you take the board down, then.
Okay, now you say that it used to cost money. So if when you registered, you had to pay to stay on to use it or something?
Hosting software that we used, the software that we used, the service that we used was kind of like the BraveNet forum that we talked about a little bit earlier. It was called AMU. And Solistics is a big hero to a lot of the boards. AMU was either ad supported or fee for service.
Right.
Service. Right. You paid money and you had sponsorship levels and it wasn't that expensive, but it was kind of fun, not fun, but it was kind of a disaster. Actually, the AMU board changed their software because it was not secure enough, which explains why the View from a Foyer was able to be entirely mirrored and set up as a side board,
right,
set up and essentially recreated under free force software using PHPBB. And is that what it used? Was
yes.
that is that right,
yes.
Payne?
Yes.
And then AMU redid their software and everything. All the boards that were hosted on AMU were completely just devastated. Carl's Jr. logos for avatars for everybody. My Little Pony backgrounds when you're on. I mean, it was just. It was awful.
It was a bad mess. They put in some untested software and it went very badly. And I don't know, Anne, whether you made this clear, but there were hundreds of boards using this AMU software, and they all blowed up on the same day, and
including the fringe.
Yeah, it was a bad scene, and so that's the second time that Solistix came and rescued us all, because he came and mirrored my board, New Order Mormon, onto his server on his software, and. You know, Folk on the Fringe and Faces East, and I'm forgetting another one or two or three, but I mean, he rescued us all. Oh, yeah, Cherry. He really, I mean, the guy rescued us a bunch of boards.
At some point, I think he was planning, there was a completely unrelated non-Mormon board walk away from fundamentalism that was for people who were leaving evangelical fundamentalist Christian churches, and they were huge. And it was like, you know, somebody from that board emailed us, and I'm like, you know, might want to email this guy because he can save you.
I mean, yeah. We're singing his praises because he passed away last year at the age of 28 of cancer, and it was very devastating to everyone that was involved or knew him personally, directly, indirectly. It was a very devastating time.
What was the guy's name again?
Solistix. His real name is...
And, you know, I think there's a good point here. Even on both sides, you know, taking guys like from the fair or from farms... There's a small group of people who sort of pay for all this stuff because they believe in it. And I found, you know, there's a lot of people who just leave the church. They're Jack Mormons or whatever, and they walk away. But for the people who get involved online or get involved in podcasts or whatever, these are all very sincere people. And that's what I think is so funny about like the mad boards watching the apologists and the critics go at it. Because to me, they've just switched a bit. That's all. Other than that, they're like the same personalities, the same type of convicted people, and they convicted in both sense of the words.
I have a theory that I've expressed a couple of times that whatever kind of Mormon you are is the kind of ex-Mormon you become.
I think there's
if you're one kind of Mormon, then when you stop believing, you become that kind of ex-Mormon.
So if you were like a coffee drinking, like once a year cigar smoking Mormon, what do you do on the ex-Mormon side? You sneak in and sing praise to the man every
No, it's not like that. I think that she does have a point that if you're raised in Mormonism and you're raised to be a leader and you're raised to be, you know, to direct people and to organize things and that type of thing, when you leave the church, you do the exact same thing. You have all this
Bob
energy.
McHugh is a fine example of that.
Yeah, I can't remember which apologist it was, but he said, you know, the problem with all you ex-Mormons, you take this stuff too seriously.
We did when you were in the church as well. That's kind of why we're on this side.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about like the current state of affairs. And like you said, there's a lot of little small boards and some of them fill a niche. You know, like we just talked about Faces East, which is really for people which is a great board. We've had those people on Mormon Expression before, you know, for people who are married to those who've left the church as a support group. And those are, to me, those are the really great resources out there. Now let's talk about the ones that are mediocre that we all rely on. So I've mentioned it several times. You know, I said at the top of the show that really Mormon boards have a really difficult time because if you're full on Mormon, there's no criticism, whatever, what do you talk about? They have to be like genealogy boards, or they have to be – they're sort of train wreckish when I look at them.
I think you've kind of hit on it sideways. There are two kinds of boards in the DAMU. There's discussion boards, argument boards, and then there's support boards. So, you know, well, the support boards in my mind are – New Order Mormon and Face is East. And I see us as two sides of the coin. And then, you know, maybe Stay LDS is maybe a third incarnation of that support, methodology. And then there's everybody else that are these discussion boards.
You're right. Or and I'm sure there's like a Mormon version of that, but there's been some that I've looked at and they tend to have really problems. So on the Mormon side, moving from right to left, of the main boards out there driving the show is Mormon. It's called Mormon Dialogue right now. It used to be called Mormon
Apologetics
and Discussion.
Mormon Apologetics and Discussion, hence the MAD board.
Which I much prefer, by the way.
Which the old timers will never stop calling it MAD. But although that's a bannable offense to call it MAD these days.
it's kind of like calling a Mormon a Mormon.
Yeah. So the fascinating thing is the board is populated by a bunch of guys. I'll say it, by a bunch of yahoos. But there are this cloud, like I said before, of these serious apologists who watch the board all the time. Right. You know, people like...
You could even call them professional apologists.
You can call them absolutely professional apologists. Like I say, they work for Mormon Times. They work for the Deseret News. They're in the Maxwell Institute, all these guys, and they will come on if you tickle their right funny bone.
If you say just the right thing,
right,
they show up.
I'll use this example. This is archived. You can go look it up. But about 4 or 5 years ago, they had published something that was untrue on the Xena Diantha Huntington page, and I called them out on it. And it was 3 or 4 hours before they fixed the board on the LDS site, and they came in and said, "What are you making such a big deal of this? This is a little thing." You know, so they're right on top of that, and they're connected right into the COB.
And did they say we've always been at war with Oceania?
East Asia.
Do we even?
It's East Asia now.
Okay. Do we even know the clear lines between the church and the apologists at this point?
Well, no. I mean, the Maxwell Institute is funded by the church,
right?
And has moved on to BYU campus. Fair is not, but.
No, I think that that's a very important point, and Jason brought it up on his first podcast where he said the church has to have these apologists because they say the things that the church can't say.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's a very fuzzy line, and I think that they like that line fuzzy.
Yeah, yeah. So the church likes the plausible deniability, right?
Right.
I mean, they always have. And that's not just unique to Mormonism. If you go look like the White House, you know, they will sound things out before they make official statements,
yeah, too. They'll float some statements to see how they go.
I don't know if they have people from the church itself who are on the boards trying to detect trends or not. I know there's a lot of people who are kind of like closet Mormon who are very paranoid that there's this, you know, group of people sitting in the church office building monitoring every message board, checking for their names and their IP addresses. And
it's a given.
You think so?
Well, absolutely. Remember how they had that story at like the Daily Universe talking about the what was that, the resource, like that they're going to flood the internet with so many pro-Mormon websites that only pro-Mormon websites would show up on Google searches.
On Google, right.
What was that thing?
The More Good Foundation.
Yeah, the More Good Foundation. And they interviewed the BYU professor whose brainchild it was, and he says the church currently monitors 15,000 anti-Mormon websites. About the, and then that, and we noticed that, and then we posted about it on RFM, and then I looked back on the next day, and that was taken off of BYU's website. That quote was eliminated.
Well, I don't think it's as formal, because if it was, they'd have better responses.
That's exactly my argument. If they're monitoring my board, they're doing a really bad job.
I mean, there may be 15,000 websites, but how many of them are saying anything the church feels the need to address?
Well, that's why I'm talking about. Maybe they're looking for trends or directionals or, you know, something like that, where they think, okay, maybe we should address this 6 months down the road in general conference because this number of people have, you know, expressed concern or something like that. I don't know how well it's followed.
I
just want to pipe up with something, right, too, the whole More Good Foundation. The church shot itself in the foot back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when all of the Mormon websites that members were putting up and wards were putting up all their own websites, and the church said, no, you need to take them down.
Yeah, I remember that.
You have to, because they wanted to control the message. Nick Letursky had, who at the time was quite faithful, quite a believer, had just this fantastic temple resource on temple history, dedicatory pages, all this other stuff, and they asked him to take it down. And so he did.
Can I talk? Are you done, Anne?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Can I talk, speaking of this vein of thought, can I talk about Facebook and how we are seeing a real life conflation between these lurking, internet damn you people and their real life families and friends?
Well, yeah. I think this is all,
Or is this too soon to talk about Facebook?
Well, Facebook is a whole nother thing. And it's really mucking everything up in a lot of ways. And I think maybe we can come back to it. But I really think it's another thing the church is unable to respond to. I was going to bring up the point of podcasting. We started this in 2009. Mormon Stories has been going about, they started since up, restarted up again since then. The church has started, last I counted, since Mormon Expression started, 9 podcasts. And, they can't, the one thing we've done is we published every week. The church, with its billions and billions and billions, can't keep a single podcast running for, and then I'm sure what happens is they get into editorial wars in the Cobb and they kill it, and then they start running old bullshit from 10 years ago. And is it that hard to find one guy in the Cobb to give a microphone?
It's too hard to find somebody to correlate it.
So yeah. That's where, let's be clear. Mormon Expression is a pissant operation. And they can't compete with their billions and billions of dollars.
I'm sitting in a very comfy chair right now. I just want you to know.
Well, and it's not because we're great. I'm just trying to point out how low the bar is, and they can't clear it. So I think that extends to the boards and all that kind of stuff.
No, I think the church presupposes that everything that comes out from the church must be a correlated message.
Right, right.
And, Mormon Expressions is not correlated.
No,
well, see,
this is what
drove me crazy about being in the church in the first place. There was no dialogue. There was no real dialogue. I mean, you were given a playbook and you were told you have to have discussions only with these things. Right. Well, you leave that and what do you have? All these people who want to think and talk and do all of these wonderful things. And we can do it now. We're sitting in this little office here talking about whatever it is we want to. We don't have to sit and monitor, or we don't have to sit and think in fear of what our spouses or our home teachers or whoever is going to think about it.
We don't have to pass the manual around the room and read a paragraph.
That's right.
So I do have to say kudos to Nemesis and crew who have kept the Mad Board in their various incarnations up and running. Because it is, as far as I know, the only sustainable Mormon thing that has been out there. But like we said, they recently went through a big existential crisis and renamed themselves Mormon Dialogue instead of Apologetics. And I think they don't exactly know what they want to be.
They're not the church, that's for sure. Like you mentioned earlier, these apologists, they're saying the things that the church would never say. So that's probably explains their longevity.
But like Jason talked about, it is an important, like, they're running screen for the church, and it becomes a place where they can test out new stuff.
Do you know what, though? I've been interacting with these apologists for over a decade, and I would definitely tell you they're not representative. They're not my stake president. I mean, some of the nastiest personalities I've ever encountered have been a Mormon apologist.
Well, you and I, Chris, have been on the Mad Board for a long time in various pseudonyms and stuff. What's amazing to me is how many of the people who participate there strongly are not regular Mormons. They don't go to church. They're inactive. Mm-hmm. They have you would think you're interacting with all these guys, but they're just as inactive as I am.
They are. And they're singing the praises of the church on Sunday afternoon instead of going to church.
Right, right. So this is, and I've even heard them say, this is how I pay my dues to Jesus or whatever. They probably said it a different way, but. All right. So we've talked about, you can't talk about the Mad Board without talking about its sister board. Because you can't have one without the other. I think if one of them ceased to exist, the other one would cease to exist. And that's a Mormon Discussions, Dr. Shade's board.
Yay for Mormon Discussions.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What I find interesting about the apologists and the mad people are always saying how insignificant your board is. But it won't be more than 6 minutes, after anything comes up there that the big dogs are howling about whatever's on your board. Those guys, I'm talking about Maxwell Institute leather chair office guys, read your board all the time. They don't stop.
Oh, they love the tension. I mean, they really do. But there's no other way to explain it.
And they will post there. They'll stop for 6 months, you know, like an addict. You know, they're off, they're in recovery, and then they'll be back in, you know.
But they're always talking about the trailer park. They really are.
Oh, yeah. You can leave Mormon discussions, but you can't leave Mormon discussions alone.
So your board is different in the aspect that you will not ban posters.
Well, for the most part, I mean, we did have one unfortunate exception a long time ago, but that was kind of couldn't be avoided. But as far as, but you will not be banned for your ideas, though.
Well, so, and you know, I in your defense, Mormon Expression has a board, and then we have Facebook things. I have banned three people, in the 2 years we've been, and it's all three been for sexual harassment.
You've banned more people than Flack has then. Well, because we've only banned two.
Apparently, you don't have all
the
horn dogs that come onto my.
we did ban a nudist. Oh, just recently.
Why would you? Well, the nudist wasn't posting pictures of him or herself.
No, he wasn't. You know, I wouldn't even cared about that part. But he was going after people via private messaging, and so we decided it was best.
Now, can you define going after?
No, I don't want to talk about it here.
Wow.
But I mean, only two people in the time that I've been moderating on Flack, and that's since 2006, that we have banned. And so there's a distinct moderating difference between these boards. I think that I know that there is a distinct difference between Flack and NOM. They're much more careful and they're much more observant and trying to direct conversation.
And have twice as many moderators as any other board on the internet.
They really do. It just cracks me up. And then I argue with them every time they make a ridiculous decision. So I don't go over to NOM very often.
This is words to remember, folks. Don't ever give her your phone number.
The one thing that amazes me about Flack is it seems pretty, it's not real caustic. But those guys sure love the F-bomb over there. You guys have more F-words per, like, capita.
Per post.
Yeah, per post than
it's not
board.
True. Cherry. And Cherry is the winner.
Which is funny.
We've got a thread over on Cherry named
the F-word.
Now,
the
we should F-word, be clear. Yeah. Cherry is a
Cherry?
Secret board.
It's not
secret.
Not secret.
It's not anymore.
It's a public board.
Oh.
It always has been a public board.
But it's sort of hanging out in the back of the boys' room is what
exactly.
It is, yeah.
Very much so.
But so Shade's board gets this flack, excuse the pun, for being so nasty, but you guys actually moderate language much harsher than any other board does because you have your three kingdoms. Maybe you should explain your moderation policy.
Okay, well, my moderation policy, Thane here explained that, or maybe it was you that touched on the fact that some boards are either taken in one of two directions. They can either be support boards, or they can be discussion-type boards.
Right.
Well, after I got booted for the last time from the fair boards, I had that need, that itch that needed to be scratched, that, you know, need that had to be met. And having been on the boards for a little less than 10 years, I began noticing what worked and what didn't work. And so I thought, and it seemed to me that every single board out there, it fulfilled some sort of niche. Like you mentioned, people who's, they can't watch their kids get married, or what was it? What was that one? Or the kid, like their partial. What was the one, that really niche board you talked about?
Oh, Folk of the Faces Friends? East.
Oh, Faces.
Yeah, Faces East. What was that one again?
Like, yeah, it's for people who are faithful, but their spouses have left the church.
Okay, faithful, but their spouses out of the church. Okay, well, that's one sliver of the demographic.
It's a narrow niche, yeah.
You have NOM, you got Flack, which I don't really know totally about the focus of. XMormon.org is obviously ex-Mormons only. And, of course, you know, LDS Talk, you know, Hardcore Mormonism, you know, there's like a Nauvoo Talk, or was it Nauvoo Boards, I guess?
The Nauvoo, whatever.
I think it was called just Nauvoo, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, well, anyways,
yeah,
but
like
so anyways, after
boring.
All that, okay, after all that, I observed that there was no one single message board for everybody.
Right, right.
There was none that did not preach and did not advertise a niche. And so I thought, you know what, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. So I decided to, you know, pony up the funds and establish that board. So my board is literally all things to all people. Everybody on any, no matter what niche if any, that you occupy. Believer, disbeliever, apologist, anti-Mormon, whatever. Everybody is welcome.
So our nudists should go to your board.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing. All the people that have been banned from, like, MAD, let's say, or maybe even RFM. In fact, during our first days, we got more complaints about RFM than about the fair board. So the big thing was ripping on the RFM, exmormon.org. But anyways, so my philosophy is, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send them all to, if you don't want them, send them to me, and I will welcome them with open arms, I always have.
There's a very interesting thing about Shade's board, and because they tolerate free speech, you're the only real board that totally believes in free speech. At first blush, it's sophomoric because people can say anything they want, and they do. But when you get to the core posters, you have the most credentialed posters. There are more PhDs posting on your board per capita than any other board. When they come out of the woodwork, and I've met a lot of these guys in real life, these are some smart guys, and you don't get that at first blush from your board.
No, you wouldn't. You got to kind of look around a little bit and then just, get a handle on the culture.
There are people like Trixie/Beastie or Analytics, who I was dialoguing with before 2000 that are currently sitting on your board.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. If you want to test the waters, go in and ask some hard question. You come up with the hardest question you can, and they will tear that thing apart in seconds, which is why the people like the silverbacks of Maxwell Institute, like Daniel Peterson, go running.
Yeah, could be. And you also mentioned our moderating policy. Originally, when I set it up, it was like completely free for all. Anybody could say anything. But then it got to the point when the membership started reaching critical mass. People started complaining that there was too much vulgarity, too many F-bombs and so forth. And they were going to start leaving if I didn't do something. Okay. Yeah. Right. They were going to start leaving if I didn't do anything about it. So, the guy who taught me pretty much everything I know about running, the PHP BB3 software, a guy named Negative. Well, anyways, he came up with the idea of having three different forums, named, of course, the Celestial Forum, the Terrestrial Forum, and the Telestial Forum. And, of course, we have our Outer Darkness Forum. So, that way we have different levels of moderation depending on which forum you're posting in. So you can pretty much pick your own comfort level.
The only advice, since we're all about unsolicited advice, you need to ban more true nutballs. You need
There's a mental illness clause.
That goes for all of you.
I don't know how he gets away with it, because I ban a mentally ill person twice a year.
If they're entertaining, they stick around. Is that how?
Yeah. I was going to say, what do you do? Well, I mean, you get rid of 80% of your board.
Well, you think about it. I'm not going to point fingers or, name names or anything, but the people who you would describe the way you describe them, are they or are they not the most entertaining people? Do they or do they not drum up the most traffic?
They are the most entertaining for the first dozen the most posts.
And I do want to point out something. Because of the nature of the boards, and we've talked about, they do attract people going through crisis. They also do attract borderline personalities.
They do.
And they're on any given board, at any given time, 25% of those people are people who'd probably make you uncomfortable at church. they are a little bit off. And it's just because they have a form, they have a voice where they don't necessarily have that voice in real life.
Exactly. And shouldn't borderline personality disordered people have free speech as well?
Of course they do.
Borderline personality people are borderline people too.
We probably don't want to be in the business of diagnosing online anyway. So
No. And in fact, I even, showed the man behind the curtain in a post I made not too long ago, where I give a peek into my moderating philosophy. And that is that if some idiotic or inane person insists on coming to my board and building a monument to his or her inanity through post after post after post, then who am I to stop him or her from completing that monument?
Right.
So, could
be a beautiful thing.
Exactly. So why not let them leave proof to their idiocy or inanity? if they choose to leave that proof, why not?
I did also want to mention the fact that there's a lot of blogger knackle business going on, and it has a tendency to generate discussion as well. So I don't want to leave that whole group out.
Yeah, I figured we wouldn't have enough time to talk about the blogs, which is another big story, and of course these things cross pollinate in and bleed one over to the other.
Likewise, Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it, a lot of the momentum is shifting to Facebook. But before, I want to talk a little bit about Facebook. Facebook. I want to mention one last of the motherboards. You know, we've talked about NOM, we've talked about FLAC, we've talked about Mormon Discussion, we've talked about the Mormon Dialogue or the MAD board. There's one other big daddy in the room, which is Post-Mormon. And Post-Mormon is interesting because they're sort of the first crossover to the real world board.
I think that they're the most professional of the boards, and I say that with no shame whatsoever.
And we have had Jeff Ricks, the mind behind that board, on the podcast. You can go back to one of the early archives and listen to that. But they are sort of the you have RFM in contrast to them as you move from. As you move from just that caustic dialogue to sort of community building, that's where it sits. And if there is a online hub to post-Mormonism, since that's it, that's the board. But people tend to move off that board into the others, which is sort of funny.
I find myself contemplating the future of my board frequently, as you would, and. Whenever I think, hey, I've just got this great idea of what I should be doing with my board, inevitably I go, oh, yeah, just like Post-Mormon did a year ago.
Right. And Post-Mormon is most famous for putting up billboards around Salt Lake.
Billboards? I mean, see, I haven't done billboards yet.
late. So they do have money and sort of have the Post-Mormon communities where people – so it provides one of the first sort of getting out and meeting other people in real life.
Yes, they created chapters immediately.
Right.
And they incorporated and became, a tax exempt corporation established in 2006, I believe.
Is exmormon.org the RFM, are they incorporated?
I don't believe so. I think the Ex-Mormon Foundation is.
The one who holds the conference, they are incorporated, right. And Post-Mormon is incorporated.
The Recovery from Mormon board is just a board. I think it's just an outreach of the ex-Mormon, and those are loose ties anyway. Eric is not part of the ex-Mormon Foundation, I don't believe.
So, and I think that leads to this next. I think that is moving out of. So we started at the internet, and there's all these loose things that come together, and they're getting better. The boards are getting better and more concrete, and filling these niches a little bit more. We see FAIR has its full on conference, and it's matured. And we're talking about these, Mormon Stories incorporated last year and Mormon Expression incorporated this last week. So you see more and more of that becoming real. And we'll put out more information on what that means to the world here in a little bit. But yeah, I do think you see these things becoming a little bit more serious. Like we're playing for real.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, playing for keeps now.
And if you're looking over the entire evolution of this of what we've been discussing, back in the early days, people were just looking for support, you know, and they didn't know how long they were going to be there. The options were limited. And as time has gone by, and we've gotten more sophisticated with these boards, now we're taking all of that online stuff and recreating. It's kind of cool, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think, to talk about Facebook now, the thing about Facebook is it makes it so much easier to connect real life, where on the one hand, it's harder to hide behind what?
Yeah, it's a two-edged sword. It's so easy to connect in real life in ways that you didn't want.
On Zilpha just put up an article on her about Mormon temple marriages, that we ran in the Tribune or something, and you'll watch both sides pile on because obviously she has a lot of family, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden these two worlds that are really independent are bumping into each other.
In the past, if you were a Mormon, you were, advised stay away from anti-Mormons, anti-Mormon material, anti-this, anti-that. Now, I mean, people are seeing it on their wall. If they've had a family member who has left, they're being, barraged with these MormonGags.com or something. The two worlds are colliding on a very real life basis, and it's absolutely hysterical to watch.
And it's a shock to find out that, half of your family is those evil anti-Mormons.
Right. And yeah. At least we make anti-Mormons or ex-Mormons sound like the bad guy. For every one negative thing about the church, there's 10 on the other side, because there's this tendency to post all this stuff. Yay, isn't the church great? Look at all the stuff we're doing. And then the argument goes, well, who's being offensive? If you state your beliefs, who's the offender? And then those sort of things are now going from this abstract sort of, mm-hmm. it's happening on these boards out there to in the real world as the two worlds emerge.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that we've seen, and I know Chris, you and I were talking about this just recently, we've run out of space in Utah with the post-Mormon communities, meaning for a while we met in people's houses and then we met in parks, but we can fill up a park now.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. And that's becoming the big problem and the thing that has to be solved. And you see some of the great work that John DeLynn and the Mormon Stories people are doing, setting up conferences where it's all of a sudden, you know, it's going over the wall. And the next 3 or 4 or 5 years is going to be really fascinating to watch as the post-Mormons and the apologists and the fundamentalists and everybody who's not a vanilla Mormon take advantage of this and start organizing themselves into the real world. And to go to full circle, it's amazing. When I started using my real name, there were very few of us. You could count us on our hand that did it. And there are more and more people using their real names and their real pictures, partly because I think a lot of people are realizing it's really hiding is sort of not as easy as it seems. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that just, that people are willing to sort of wear the fact that they've left the church and the I'm an ex-Mormon videos and that sort of stuff, where there's real power in that of coming out and saying, I am who I am and I'm living out loud.
It takes a ridiculous amount of energy to stay anonymous in the post-Mormon world.
It does.
Well, and on Facebook, you might as well just give up that venture thing.
Yes.
But Facebook is forcing a more sophisticated dialogue, I believe, because like we talked about before, like with Zilpha, you've got you right here and you've got the family and all of these other people who previously may have wanted to paint you into, you know, their own paradigm so they could keep you there and keep you contained. And that just can't happen anymore. I see it over and over and over and over again on my wall. On Facebook. I've got, a little over 800 friends right now, and I'm going to say about 350 of them are Mormon, and the rest are, you know, various degrees of ex-Mormon or unaffiliated or born again or whatever. And this dialogue, it happens all the time. Anytime I bring up anything religious-oriented, I will get over 100 posts.
Yeah, and that's like I said, that's where I think it's going next. And it's fascinating to watch in the past year. You know, I got on Facebook, we moved out to North Carolina, so about 2008. And in the past year, it has become such a drive for the way people organize and meet. And, you know, like when we have parties at our house, I do not send out invitations except on Facebook. I just don't have the time to do it. If you are not on Facebook, you are not going to be invited to a party at John's house because I don't have time. It's not personal. It's just that's the only way I do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I see more and more of that organization happening that way. So.
Well, you know, as far as real life activities, I can remember back in 2002 throwing the first Folk of the Fringe in real life gathering, and people came from all across the country. I had people from the Pacific Northwest all the way over to Virginia. Everyone came over, and there the Folk of the Fringe is a very niche group. I mean, and I had about 40 people there. I threw a picnic event in 2006, and there were over 150 people that just showed up, you know, and that was 5 years ago.
Did you have it in your backyard or a park?
We moved it to a park. We had to.
Oh, so it started off in your backyard.
Yes. And then people kept on saying, we want to come. And then all of a sudden I had this gigantic event and I was doing all the food for it too. That was fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's where we're at trying to figure out those are just logistics of running a social group. How do you feed them? How do you space them? All that kind of stuff. Cause to me, and you know, I'm on my soapbox a little bit, but there's not going to be a real alternative to the church till there's a real alternative to the church. And that includes all the things that the church does that are outside the stuff that we make fun of all the time, all the good stuff that the church does that people rely on. And I think as a challenge to all of us in the ex-Mormon community and its various stripes, we need to get sort of better at that instead of just sitting around and bitching about what we don't like about the church, figuring out what to do. And I think the boards have been a huge advance in that in terms of, and I think the people who host them, who support them, who pay for them, those people are motivated by that altruism because frankly, you get bored of reading the same shit every day. day in and day out.
Yeah, I say that constantly. If I have to see one more thread about garments or temple ceilings or tithing.
The word of wisdom.
Thank you. Yeah, if I have to read one more of those, I'm going to go nuts. But, you know, year after year, I host the board and I pay for it and I moderate it. And
well, you know, and I say kudos to all these people who are doing this, especially you, you know, John, who are, you're putting in an enormous amount of energy to organize and to collaborate and to create and those types of things where, you know, lots of people just don't have the focus to do so or don't have the vision or whatever you'd like to call it.
Or so, don't have the money.
Yeah, the money.
And one of the things that I do want to throw out there too, I want to represent for, you know, the thousands of us that are not in the Mormon cultural region, is that on the one hand, I think a lot of us do envy those of you who are there because you have each other. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we do because there's just not a critical mass of people in my position in Southeast Louisiana. Right. And so, you know, you just have to make your own way. And when there's just not a critical mass of you, there's not going to be a group of people coming together to form a community mm-hmm. in my neck of the woods. Just not going to happen.
That's true. And that's something good to point out. We because we are here, we feel a more acute need to focus our energy on something that's going to be more pertinent to us. We just, here in Utah, we're surrounded by it all the time. So
exactly.
It kind of makes us want to sing louder, I guess.
And I think that, you know, what those of us who aren't there have the benefit of doing is just looking around at any of the hundreds of other really cool things that we could get involved in that aren't being subsumed by our church participation or by the, you know, the 800-pound right. gorilla in the room. You know, I'm involved in democratic politics. Yay me. Yeah. You know, it's just, I'm in the women's club and, you know, book groups, and there's just right. all kinds of fun things you can do.
I agree. I think being
outside of
Utah.
You just kind of have to make your own community. I think it's going to be a lot. I think it, for those of you who are there, it's a lot harder. So more power to you.
All right. Well, you know, we talked about some of these threads. These threads are out there, and you can find a whole history. Don't you have a history of this whole thing that you put on your site, Shades, of on the breakdown of the
No, you're thinking of a guy named Dr. Scratch who posts on the board, and originally called Mr. Scratch, and he asked me one time. He got interested in the old Zion's Lighthouse message board, you know, the deceased carcass that it was, and he asked me one time if there were any, you know. He told me that he heard that there were some goodies there, and he asked me if there was any particular threads that stick out. And so I, of course, told him about that one. Then he went through and he located it. He read through the whole thing, and then he did a write up about this thread. And even though it was a summary of all the goings on, that his own write up itself was epic beyond measure.
Yeah.
I think it's important for somebody to chronicle what has gone on, you know, from these very primitive Usenet groups to where we are now sitting in a room, you know, talking about this when we're going to publish it on a podcast here in the next, you know, couple of days. I think it's interesting to look at it. I think a sociologist would be very interested to see how we've adapted to leaving Mormonism.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's an amazing amount of information out there. You can check out sites like the Mormon Curtain that archives the best of the
yes.
fight, the fights across this ongoing battle between Cain and Abel that is happening between the online Mormons and the ex-Mormons.
Actually, there is a sociologist who is writing a paper on the experience of
yes.
leaving Mormonism, and he's actually got a little grant to work on that this summer. So
I know of three different yeah. guys who are working advanced degrees on this topic. So yeah, there's fertile ground out there.
Wow.
So go out there, hit your favorite board, get your favorite moniker, and adopt a persona that can go out there and
process.
And then take all that energy and come and sit and talk with us about it so that we can, you know, throw a big, gigantic picnic or something.
Yeah, and if you get banned from your favorite board, just come to MormonDiscussions.com. We'll take you in.
And I think our next time we do an installment in this discussion, we're going to have to talk about the blogs, because then you not only have the same sort of stuff we've been talking about, but the cult of personality starts entering in because the boards become about the fight. It's like football versus basketball. Football, they all have helmets on, so you can't really make them out. But basketball, you can see who it is. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for an enjoyable discussion. And you guys can be found at your various boards. And you are, is it Nani P?
I'm Nana P.
Nana P. And you are over at NOM, right?
I'm at NOM. I post at FLAC occasionally also.
And we've used the acronym. So it's newordermormon.org.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Forum.newordermormon.org.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you forget the forum, then there's a link there.
The redirection.
And Chris, you are over at FLAC.
Yes. And that's as Froggy.
Thefoyer.org.
Yes.
And Jason, you are at MormonDiscussions.com. As the one and only Dr. Shades. Do you still have a cute little Japanese girl as your avatar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And if I'm at a board, I don't hang around the boards that much anymore. I just look for drama. I just go looking for drama. That's all. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.